China has extended a lockdown in the Hubei province, the centre of the coronavirus outbreak, as the death toll continues to climb. 10 cities in the central Chinese province with 60 million people have travel restrictions in force now. I'm joined from Wuhan, where it all started, by the New York Times correspondent Chris Buckley. And I'll speak later to Dr. Kevin Kelleher, Assistant National Director of Health Protection with the HSE. Chris, thanks for joining us. Now, instead of celebrations for the new year, 10 cities in China are in lockdown. What is the feeling where you are right at the centre of the area of concern in Wuhan?
Well, in Wuhan, it's very quiet and it's a bit melancholy as well. As you might know, today is the eve of China's Lunar New Year. It's a bit like Christmas Eve. It's when families get together and celebrate, and family unity is a very big theme. I think this year, a lot of people, certainly the people I spoke to, said they were planning a very simple Lunar New Year. You know, there's a lot of fear about the spread of the illness. Family members can't come home, and there's just a general air of anxiety around it.
And what about hospitals in the region? Are they effectively overwhelmed by people who are coming in anxious that symptoms they have may have to do with coronavirus?
That's true. What Wuhan and other cities have tried to do is to designate hospitals to diagnose and treat patients who may have the coronavirus. That's a way of ensuring the standards of treatment. But what that means is that there's a surge of patients who are going to these designated hospitals, and quite a few of them feel a bit overwhelmed. One problem the doctors and medical staff face is the number of patients coming in. The other problem they face is a shortage of protective gowns, gloves, and masks that are going to protect the doctors and nurses from the coronavirus.
Do people feel that they're getting enough information from the authorities about what's been happening?
I think it's generally true that most people feel now that the city government should have been much more candid about threats from this coronavirus earlier. And there's a general feeling in the city that they tried to put good news before candor. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's turned against the government. People can see that the government is making efforts now. But even among people who are supportive of those efforts, you know, you ask them about that question of information, and even those supportive people will say, well, I wish we'd learned a bit more, a bit sooner, so we could have done something about it.
Now, as we say, there are travel restrictions. Are many people trying to circumvent those restrictions, perhaps by going on back roads to try to meet up with other family members?
That's the story that you hear. Just how many are getting out is something I could only guess at. I would guess by this point, the lockdown around Wuhan has now extended to the satellite cities around Wuhan. So even if you get past Wuhan itself, there's going to be other restrictions there. So I think for Wuhan itself, those restrictions may not be watertight at this point, but I think they're going to be pretty tight. The problem with the other cities is they have very big rural populations as well. And once the Chinese Lunar New Year holiday passes, a lot of those people will want to move to other parts of China, back to the work that they usually do.
And is there any indication about how long these travel restrictions will remain in force?
No, there isn't, Sean. There's no word from the government about how long they might be in place. We can only guess at that. One of the factors is that starting today, China enters the week-long Lunar New Year holiday. So most people will be staying put with their families for that week anyway. The pressures will build at the end of the week-long holiday. A good number of people are going to want to go back to work in other parts of China. And companies and businesses in this city are going to be wondering when they can bring back their employees if they're in other parts of China.
And how is this crisis being treated, say, at central government level there in Beijing and also in the national, in the state media?
Well, the central Chinese leadership is trying to maintain a balance here. As trying to keep that balance, they're not trying to make this into a top-tier issue in the news and in official pronouncements. If you look at the Chinese television news over the past few days, or official Chinese newspapers, it's there, but it's not at the very top of the page or the top of the news. I suspect the reason the government wants to do that is their belief that will avoid panic or questions about their credibility. Of course, the problem is it seems then to many people that they're underplaying what is already very plainly a very serious crisis for this country.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much indeed for that update. That's Chris Buckley, correspondent with the New York Times, talking to me there from Wuhan. Listening to that, and on the line now is Dr. Kevin Kelleher, Assistant National Director of Health Protection at the HSE. I think, and thanks for joining us, Kevin. I think you've noted that whatever about what we heard there from Chris about trying to keep everybody calm, there is a big contrast between how the Chinese authorities are dealing with this crisis and the time of the SARS outbreak.
It appears very much of that nature. They clearly are in a very different place from where they were 15, 20 years ago. Yes, very, very different. And they are dealing with it far more openly and taking far more interventions as a consequence. And we all know about those. So that's a very big difference. But again, this is on a scale that's difficult for us to imagine here in Ireland, where there's a city of 12 million people. And then the next door city as well is the city of 10 million. You know, it's a scale that we're just not attuned to, and how you try and deal with an issue like this in those sort of groups as a consequence.
Yes, and what's your sense, Dr. Kelleher, as to how serious this particular virus is in comparison with SARS? Do you have information and sufficient information to make a judgment on that?
It is clearly the same type of virus. It works in the same way. How severe it is still being unclear, but becoming clearer as we get more information. But we're only 3 weeks, 4 weeks into this process as a consequence. So it's not easy to do that. It is not showing yet some of the evidence that happened with SARS of relatively easy movement for some reason amongst people in certain circumstances. But it is... doesn't appear to be as severe of them either. It or the other equivalent of this, which is called MERS-CoV, which is happening in the Middle East. So it's difficult to see. Now, the difficulty as well is this sort of virus evolves fairly rapidly on occasion. So we could still be awaiting some of those changes yet to see. So that's why they're keeping a very close eye. And I think that's why WHO is keeping a very strong watching brief on what is happening at the moment.
And saying it's still a bit too early to declare a global emergency.
Yes.
But I've read some reports suggesting that the majority of the people who have died from this are elderly men who have an underlying health condition.
Our understanding is, yes, that all the deaths to date have actually been in older people who have got other serious underlying health care conditions, yes.
Meanwhile, back here in Ireland, what kind of guidance have you given, for instance, to the airports and to healthcare staff as to how to identify and deal with at-risk patients?
Well, we've published in the last day and both put them up on our website and been distributing them around the distribution systems we have for clinical care staff. Advice for general practice, for hospitals, for the ambulance service about how to deal with this, okay? We've also been in communication with the three main airports. In the way this system works, we would deal with the three main airports, which would be Dublin, Cork and Shannon as a consequence. They've been communicated about what we require. It's a reflection of what we expect anyway, and it's about how they have to notify us if they have issues, how they deal with it, how they communicate with the ambulance services, etc. Now, none of that's new. We've had that in place for quite a number of years. We've had practices, particularly around Dublin Airport, about that. So it's there, it exists, and that's what one of the things we rely on in these circumstances.
Now, as we know, there have been confirmed cases in half a dozen other countries, and I see Public Health England are saying it's highly likely they'll have a case in the UK. As we know, there's a man also being tested at the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. So would it be fair to assume it's really only a matter of time before we see a case here?
Yes, but you know, that was not dissimilar with Ebola. You know, it was always likely, it is likely we may see a case here, but we haven't. You know, it's difficult to judge, okay? It depends upon the movement of people as a consequence. But we are in a ready position for that as well.
Yes, I suppose the time of year isn't the most auspicious either, but can you give me the latest figures for the winter flu season as it is in this country?
Well, the winter flu is declining. It's probably in its last week at the moment. And by the time we talk about it next week, we'll probably be saying the season is over. It's been a relatively short winter season, but a very sort of had a very high peak of disease just around Christmas time. And one of the more interesting things was that peak was predominantly before Christmas in children under 15. What we saw was after Christmas, around the New Year period, a peak in the over 65s, which would appear to have been the fact that younger people mixed with their grandparents over the Christmas period, and the grandparents then became more exposed as a consequence.
And
so we've seen that. It's led to increased admissions and things of that nature, but ultimately the number of admissions to ICU at the moment is nothing out of the ordinary. So we wouldn't say it's a very severe season at the moment.
Yeah, I read a figure of 103 admissions to intensive care,
yeah,
and 52 deaths, most of them among, yeah, people aged over 65.
And most of those were in people with pre-existing conditions and unfortunately weren't necessarily vaccinated either.
And I imagine you're still giving people advice if they haven't got the flu vaccine, they still should.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, Dr. Kelleher, thank you very much indeed for joining us. That's Dr. Okay. Kevin Kelleher there, Assistant National Director of Health Protection at the HSE.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.